Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so very delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you, so you could send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. You can also listen to our show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN's Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast or wherever you happen to listen to your podcast. The family is often referred to as the domestic church because it's the first place where faith and love and God are introduced. Family is called to be a beacon of faith and love to the world, reflecting God's own heart. And there is nothing more powerful than a strong, holy family. But how do we live this out in our home today? It's often easier said than done, which is why we'll be discussing what keeps a family strong in the faith and what can be done to make our families holier. So the question for today's show is this: what are the keys to a strong Catholic family? Now, we would love to hear from you, so give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, you can call us at 205-271-2980.
I want to say happy birthday to you, Joy. Your birthday was yesterday.
Yes.
And we had a blessed time, went away for the weekend.
We did.
And just had a great time of relaxation and renewal. A beautiful resort here in Greater Birmingham.
Yes, it was 8 miles from our home, which was, we didn't want to travel far. And so we were like, let's do this. And it really, it was lovely.
And you know, as we're thinking about the theme of what are some of the keys, I really do want you to call us, especially those who have a few years under your belt and what you've learned. Maybe, you know, anybody can call it, but 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50.
Your successes and failures.
Right. What did you learn? What are you looking back now? What was really important? A key to your marriage and a key to the family. And what was a big deal for you? And now you're looking back on it, and maybe you're a widow or a widower. And I'd like to speak to those people because they say, you know, I made a big deal out of things I shouldn't have. And here's the things that I should have emphasized, or that I did emphasize. And one of the things for us, and we can elaborate upon this, is that we always took time for ourselves in the midst of, you know, having our children over time and so on, and nurturing our own relationship with a retreat, whether it was just an evening going out with educational experiences in marriage and in the family. Mm-hmm. And then each year I would say to you, you can go any place you want with any friend you want to go with. So you do something with one of your girlfriends.
Yes.
I would do something with some of my guys. Mm-hmm. Again, it could just be a total retreat, nothing necessarily spiritual, but getting away, or something to build you up. So we really found that to be very, very important to the building up of a marriage, and that's what we did during your birthday. Just got away just to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know your thoughts on this. Give us a call, send us an email, Facebook us, and so we want to hear, we want to help other people to really nurture their marriages and their families. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the theme for today's show is this: what are the keys to a strong Catholic family? Please give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you're calling outside North America, you could reach us at 205-271-2980. We would really love to hear from you. Maybe your successes or your failures, some counsel, advice that you would like to share. We have a caller on the phone right now, and this is Debbie from California. Debbie, what are your thoughts or your comments?
Oh, hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Hello, Jim and Joy. God bless you. We're here in Santa Rosa, California. My husband and I, we have 5 children. And what we did when they were younger is I think Dr. Ray got me inspired by this. And he said church and camping, the two C's. And I thought, oh, camping? What's the big about that? But then when we started taking the kids camping, they got away from the screens. We were together as a family. They helped each other. We looked up at the stars. They saw nature, and when you see nature, you instantly see God. So as they were growing up, we did a lot of camping, and then as a family, we do the rosary, and then adoration. We do adoration once a week with the kids when they were little, and then church, of course. We have the domestic church, but we made sure when we bought the house, it was only a mile from the church and the school, so we could be close because we knew we'd be there a lot.
Yeah.
So those are a couple of things that we did.
Well, Debbie, that is great counsel, great advice, and you know, you are the domestic church, and I love that you were only a mile away from the church and from the school because, you know, with five kids, you probably spent a lot of time there. And, you know, Debbie, it is an important thing. One of the things that we did was very important in our marriage and with our children. Every single day, we prayed together. We pray with each other. We pray in the morning, and then we pray at night with each other. With our children, when they were little, and all the days of their life, we prayed for them. And then we would bless them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit before they would leave the house. And it was just a spiritual covering. And every morning, our poor children, at 6:30, they were required. In our house, it was no Bible, no breakfast. So they would have a little devotion every morning, and then they would have their breakfast, and then they would go off to school. But it was part of our family culture. It was like it's what we did, and they thought everybody else did that. Going to church was not an option. Like, you didn't wake up and say, I don't feel like going to church.
You could say that.
You could say it, but that was too bad. You were going to church. Yeah. And that was part of our family culture. So it wasn't like there were options. It was kind of like what we did. yes, we raised our children. Our youngest is 39. So it was, back in the day, way apart from where it is today with the screens and phones and digital life and all that kind of stuff. We had one of those TVs where we had three channels. Yeah. We made an intentional decision as a family not to do cable. We didn't do cable till our firstborn went off to college. Yeah. So there were some intentional decisions that we made that kind of formed our family, and we created a culture within our family. And then they were all involved in sports, and so we were on the road a lot doing stuff, you know, with sports activities, and they were excelling in those places and spaces. But I say all that to say, anything that we did, it wasn't by accident. It was intentional. And you have to make a decision as a family, being the domestic church, what is important to you, and then you have to set. We didn't just kind of go, oh, gee, that's a good thing. Let's start praying. I mean, it was intentional. It was like, that was important to us. We read our Bible every single day. That's where we get our messaging from, not the world, not the culture. And that forms you into being, hopefully, holy people.
I want to underline something that Debbie said.
Yeah.
You know, and you've underlined numerous things. She said church and camping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The need to get out in the world, to look at the stars, to smell the fresh air, to look at the trees, to work together to start a fire.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, these are like the only things that there were to do. Now we've got screens, okay? So there's benefits of that kind of media, and there's really drawbacks with that. And we've got to get our kids away from it.
Yeah.
And we need to set a discipline in that. And so she's saying, we've got to do things together as a family. We need to breathe fresh air, because the screens are flat.
Right.
They're just in flatness. They're not even dealing with real people. They're usually dealing with people their own age, maybe 8 years old to 17 years old. Mm-hmm. That's all you're dealing with. You're not dealing with adults, getting their input. You're dealing with kids your own age, all this stuff.
It's limited wisdom.
Yeah. And I really recommend, we had a great guest in Father Scythe, who's written a tremendous book entitled Rekindling Wonder in a Screen-Saturated World. EW10RC.com. Rekindling, we have to rekindle wonder. How are you doing that? As a parent, you're responsible for that. And to make time to do that, to have real life experience. It may not be camping, it may be something else that you're gonna do, to get out and to be together and to get away from the screens.
Yeah.
And this is like critical. This is becoming prophetic at this time to do something like that. But we're gonna have children that are very, very diminished in terms of their ability to relate to anybody, to have ups and downs in life, to be able to cope. I mean, they need to deal with real people in real time, and you need to lead the way.
And the other thing that we did, you know, Jim is a revert to the Catholic Church. So in his former life, for 22 years, as we were raising our children, you were an Episcopal priest.
Yeah.
And in our parish, we had a soup kitchen, and we had a human needs ministry. So one of the other intentional things that we did with our children was to give them God's heart. How do you get God's heart? You serve the poor. And so we live, and we still live in Fairfield, Alabama, which is 98% African American, and we're one of the few white people that live there. And we love our town.
Mm-hmm.
And so the children had, we had a soup kitchen, and the children worked in the soup kitchen. And people knocked on our door, and there were hungry people that needed to be fed. And so they learned to, and I think you need to do this as when your children are young, to serve others.
Yes.
And to serve others. Yes. As a family. And there's so many ministries in the Catholic Church that you can be involved in to participate in that.
Yes.
And to this day, you know, we would say to the children, I'm not raising you for Harvard, I'm raising you for heaven. That's the goal. I mean, that's where we all want to be. And because, you know, the children, and, you know, you give your life to them and you do everything with the children, but the children are just passing through. They're not yours.
Yeah.
Forever.
Right.
And so then you're left with your spouse.
Right.
And so then you have to, in your marriage, fall back in love with each other again. Right? And that's the beauty of the journey. And so that's why you need to do enrichment things.
Absolutely.
For each other, spiritual enrichment things, to say, how am I going to be a better wife? How am I going to be a better daughter to Jesus? How can I be a pleasing child and love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because we are all on this journey to holiness all the days of our life. And so you're not just done. You keep growing and changing and hopefully getting better at it.
We have a quote from St. Pope John Paul II on the family. To maintain a joyful family requires much from both the parents and the children. Each member of the family has to become, in a special way, the servant of the others. St. Pope John Paul II, a homily from Mass at the Capitol Mall, Washington, D.C., October 7, 1979. So, a servant family.
Yes.
And it requires a lot, because many times you might not feel like serving or feel like you're over-serving, but that needs to be the hallmark of the family, is that we're a servant family. It needs to be the hallmark of the husband, who's the head of the family. How is he the head of the family? He should be the first to lay down his life. He emulates Jesus Christ, who's the head of this family. So a servant family. It's not, you know, me, my, I. You know, it's about how can I facilitate God's plan for your life? And the parents need to lead that way in our marriage. To look at her every day, been with her since she's 14 years old. She's older now, and we've been together 54, 55 years of our lives. And the key question for me every day is, who is she now? I mean, she's the same person, but who is she now with the history that she has? And how do I facilitate God's plan for her life now? That's what we need to be doing. That's a key to our marriages and to fortify our marriage in that way and to be a leader as servants. And then you were mentioning as well, giving your life away in service. So we did racial reconciliation. We lived intentionally in a community that was 90-something percent African-American to show in Birmingham, Alabama, you can love one another. If you're not getting love back, that you're going to love. And so we did that. And then even in the midst of that, we sent our kids away on mission trips.
Right.
To be with
Bolivia.
Impoverished nations. They couldn't even talk when they came back. Why couldn't they talk? One of them couldn't talk. She said, because we have so much. Mm. She couldn't speak. I've seen such poverty, and we have so much. And so our kids are so caught up in themselves and in their screens and themselves and looking at themselves and getting counsel from kids that are 12, 13, 14 years old and not adults. And Jesus said, you want to give your life away. If you give your life away, you're going to find your life. That's one of the problems with our kids today. They're not giving their lives away to anybody, anything. Selfish, narcissistic. Give your life away. Give them opportunities to give their life away. Let them see you give your life away. Soup kitchen, other places, visiting the elderly and so on. And they'll find their lives.
Right. And it has to be modeled in the domestic church, when, especially with the mother and the father. You go to church, in the Catholic church, there's a crucifix. Jesus is there. So we know that we're going to receive the Eucharist. We are going to get our superpowers to do all the things that we need to do in the course of the week. One of them is to die to ourselves, so that we can live for Jesus and be the best wife you can be and be the best husband you could be. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. Does the world say, yeah, good, go die to yourself? No, you got to go to church to hear that. And then usually the deacon says, go forth, right? Yeah. We go out of that church to go home and to be the best family we could be, to be the best couple that you can be, wherever you are in your stage of life, to be the best widow you can be, wherever you are. We're all required to be light and salt and to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah, it just comes to mind. I've seen whole families going to confession.
Yes.
Not in the same confessional.
Right.
But I mean, they're all lined up there to go. And what a witness that is for a father to lead his family in that way and say, I'm the head of this family, but Jesus is really the head of me and here. And I have to confess my sins. I want to be the best person that I could be to you all. So many things that could be done, keys to building a strong Catholic family. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, right now we're going to go straight to Rome to hear from beautiful Joan Lewis on the happenings in Rome. Joan?
Well, Jim and Joy, greetings from Rome. It's been another extraordinarily busy weekend for Pope Leo, the highlight of which, of course, was the visit on Thursday of Britain's King Charles III and Camilla. Now, there were many highlights from that visit to the Vatican. The most important of which would have been the ecumenical prayer service in the Sistine Chapel, where the Pope and the King prayed side by side. Now, this was historical also because it was the first time ever that a reigning, first time in over 500 years, that a reigning British monarch and a Pope prayed. So an extraordinary visit to the Vatican. Now, on Saturday, the 25th, the Holy Father met the Prime Minister Nawaf Salam of Lebanon. And this is very important because the Pope will be going to Lebanon on his first apostolic international trip at the end of November and the first days of December. And actually, the visit to Lebanon will follow the visit to Turkey, where he will commemorate the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea. Now, when the visit to Lebanon was announced on October 7th, the apostolic vicar of Beirut, and that is Bishop Cesar Essayan, he said the Pope's trip to Lebanon would be a great sign of hope in a war-torn nation. Now, another event Saturday, was the Pope presiding at a jam-packed Jubilee audience in St. Peter's Square. And he told the pilgrims from so many countries, you have reached the goal of your pilgrimage, but now, like the disciples of Jesus, we must learn to dwell in a new world. The Jubilee has made us pilgrims of hope, precisely for this reason. Everything now must be seen in the light of the crucified Christ. It is in this hope that we are saved. At the same time, we must allow Jesus to educate our gaze so that, as despite the many contrasting clashes in our lives that we experience, we might learn that love has conquered. Now, Sunday, the Pope presided at two masses. There was mass in the morning in St. Peter's Basilica for the jubilee of the synodal teams and participatory bodies in the basilica. Now, he invited the participants in this group to reflect on the mystery of the church. She's not simply a religious institution with hierarchies and structures. Rather, the church is the visible sign of the union between God and humanity, where God brings everyone together as a family, united in love. We're called in the church to walk together in the pursuit of God, and clothing ourselves with the sentiments of Christ, we expand the ecclesial space so it becomes collegial and welcoming. And then later Sunday, also in the Basilica, the Pope presided at a second Mass where he ordained Polish Monsignor Mirosław Wałkowski as a bishop. He had previously named him as the Apostolic Nuncio to Iraq. So lots of exciting events, and maybe you can tell there's still big things going on here by the number of people that have passed just since I've been talking. Exciting times. Back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for a wonderful and comprehensive report, especially the Holy Father's words about each member of the family loving and sacrificing, gazing upon the cross of Jesus. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have the founder and executive director of Springs of Love, Kimberly Hankel, on the show. And her focus is on foster care, adoption, building a culture of foster care, adoption, concern for the woman who places her child up for adoption, building this incredible culture of belonging, another way of love and building up the family, because the church is a family. God bless you and all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.